So tonight we're going to do Perek Bet from Eretz Yisrael. Just to review what we did last time, and then we'll go forward. So the first piece in our wrote, Rav Kook talked a lot about there's two ways of viewing Eretz Yisrael. One way of viewing Eretz Yisrael is as a means to an end. If you view Eretz Yisrael as a means to an end, so then if you have the end, then you're good. So one of a few of the examples that we talked about was if you view it as just a safe haven for Jews in the world. So if you view it like that, and this is crazy because this applies to the terrible things that have gone on this past week. If you view it just like that, then if Jews are safe anywhere else in the world, you'll say we don't need to be in the land of Israel. If you view it as the center of Torah in the world, but then you think that you can create a Torah center somewhere else, so then you'd be okay. But that's if it's a means to an end. But Rav Kook said that if it's an end unto itself, which it is, in the sense that our soul is from Hashem, and Eretz Yisrael is Hashem's physical embodiment of the physical, of the world, Hashem in the world. So then therefore our soul is tied up with Eretz Yisrael, and that's really the connection. It's a connection unto itself. It's not a means to an end. And so tonight what Rav Kook is going to, the question he's going to try to address is, if that's the case, so then why do so many, ourselves included, miss the boat? And not miss the boat in an aliyah sense, but in a speaking about Eretz Yisrael, teaching about it, its importance of Am Yisrael, it just seems like it's not what's on the list of shiurim in the average shul, in the average place. And how does so much Torah learned in the world, but this isn't a central focus of Torah that's learned. And so he's going to talk about how that disconnect happens. How is it that it's such a central part of Tanakh? In one of his pieces in another place, he tries to find every single pasuk in the whole Tanakh that has to do with Eretz Yisrael, hundreds of pasukim. And it's such a central focus of the Torah, of Tanakh, and yet it's not talked about kind of according to its importance. And so that's the question he's going to try to address. Okay, Rav Kook says, and this is the beginning of the piece, Al yedei hit rachakut me'akarat harazim ba'a hakara shakadushat Eretz Yisrael b'tzura mitushteshet. So, because of the distancing from an engagement with or a recognizing of razim, the secrets, because we're very distant from the secrets of Torah, the inner depth of Torah. We're going to explain what that means in a moment. So, we develop this inconsistent, incorrect, mistaken approach to or viewpoint of Eretz Yisrael. In other words, just his thesis of this whole thing. It's gone. Good to see you. So because of this, you're welcome. So he says that because of this distancing from the secrets of Torah, so somehow people have missed the boat, and then they've developed this viewpoint of Eretz Yisrael that's mistaken. And what is this viewpoint? It's what we said at the beginning, which is that whenever a person views Eretz Yisrael as a means to an end, so then that's the mistaken viewpoint, and we develop that because we're not connected with the secrets of Torah. So I just want to develop this a little bit according to kind of the way Rav Avinair develops this. The Pasuk says in Shemot that B'chol makom asher ani azkir et shemi avo elecho v'rachticha, that wherever we are, we can praise Hashem. And because we can praise Hashem wherever we are, so that kind of becomes the motto for how to connect to Hashem, that there's no place on earth that's better to connect to Hashem than any other place on earth. The Rav Avinair quotes a story where one of the heads of the Mizrahi, when his son-in-law came to learn Eretz Yisrael, he told him he should go back. He said, because if you're here, you're going to, there's going to be wars, there's going to be all kinds of things going on, you're going to get called up for reserve duty. Like, if you're there, you might as well go back to America. One of the other rabbis in the yeshiva also, acknowledged a similar point, which was just that if, you're surrounded by people who don't like you there, and you're surrounded by people who don't like you in another place, then what's the difference? It doesn't really matter where you are. And I think that is what Rav Kook's coming to respond to, which is that because we have that sense of no one place is better than another. So we kind of develop an incredible distance between us and the depth of Eretz Yisrael. So, okay, the other thing I want to talk about for a sec is what are razim, secrets of Torah. So, razia Torah, soto to Torah, are kind of, it's the secrets, but it's the layer beneath the pshat. What I mean by that is that when we talked about Eretz Yisrael in the last class, we talked about how if I try to explain to Eretz Yisrael through logic or through a rational thought, you can't really. Because rational thought would dictate that I could explain it as a means to an end, all these reasons why you should care about Eretz Yisrael. But really, there's something so much deeper that's hard to describe in words. But that's a lot of what Sodot HaTorah are. They are, it's part of Torah, which isn't as easy to understand, it's not as easy to connect to, and it's not as easy to explain to the average person. And so that's where that connection lies, that Eretz Yisrael and its depth, if you don't kind of, you're not engaged with the kind of depth of Torah itself, then you kind of miss out on that perspective. Okay, because if you just kind of take everything at face value, Torah at face value, not kind of going one level deeper, you may not be able to understand Eretz Yisrael and its depth. So that's one reason why Razei HaTorah are important as an Eretz Yisrael. The other thing, and Rav Avinar brings this up, is that Sodot HaTorah are kind of a controversial thing. If you think about it, you know, people talk about learning Kabbalah. How old do you have to be to learn Kabbalah?
40,
right? So when he says Sodot HaTorah, what does he mean? So He brings a story from the Ramchal that wrote Mesilat Yesharim and Derech Hashem. When the Ramchal came out with Mesilat Yesharim, his Rebbe said, who said you were allowed to basically reveal all these secrets that the Arizal had kind of like kept secret for people who could understand them? And you just kind of let it out in your book. How are you allowed to do that? So he said that at one point in history, people just naturally were able to understand, to relate to these ideas. And now, at a certain point, people don't, and so now I have to kind of like reveal them. In other words, they become hidden throughout history. And so he says the same things with Eretz Yisrael, that people, when you had all of Am Yisrael living in one place, in Eretz Yisrael, you just got it. You just understood. You just understood the importance of Eretz Yisrael, you understood the importance of Am Yisrael. It wasn't like you had to read a book in order to understand it, you were living it. But after 2,000 years in Galut, that idea has become like the Sodot of Torah. It's become something that's covered up, something that isn't learned as much, and you have to be retaught and revealed. So it's almost like you're not revealing something brand new, but rather you're just kind of uncovering which we've had a hard time connecting to for so long, and people used to think about intuitively.
Yeah, but there was always a desire to make Eretz Yisrael ours again. This desire was before it was Israel. The desire was there. There were people that knew that one day we will go back to our land and we will make it Israel.
Right, that's true. I mean, throughout history there always have been movements. I think that's true. I think what Rav Kook kind of means, though, or Rav Avinar is saying and explaining this, is that we haven't... this idea of the importance of Eretz Yisrael and the importance of Am Yisrael and its strength and its beauty and its holiness isn't an obvious concept to us anymore as much, because we haven't lived it in the same way. And even if we've wanted to get back, and there have been pockets of history where we have, we're still missing out on that because it's almost been covered up through exile for so many years. So again, just moving on, but realizing that what he said is so far connecting with Razei HaTorah is what's going to help us connect with the correct understanding of Eretz Yisrael. So Rav Kook continues, Al Yedei Hahit Nakrut El Yesod Hashem, by way of, I had to look this word up, alienation from the kind of depth of Hashem or the secrets of Hashem. Nasot haskulo ta'el yonot shal umek ha'chaim ha'elokim lidvarim tfilim she'enam nichnasim ba'umek ha'neshama. Okay, I'll translate that. So, because we don't connect with these Razei HaTorah, these secrets or whatever they are, so what happens is that nasot haskulo ta'el yonot shal umek ha'chaim ha'elokim, these traits, these ideas, these values, which are at the depth of godly life, which are the fundamental parts of what it means to live a Jewish life, to be a God-centered person, they become nasim lidvarim tefillim. They become like secondary, right? Extra. And she'enam nichnasim ba'omer kaneshama, and then they don't end up entering into our souls. In other words, if these ideas have become almost foreign to us through 2,000 years of galut, so then at a certain point, they become not as important of a value. I'm not even joking that the other day I told someone I was giving a Rav Kook class in the Young Israel, and said, "Oh, that's good, Young Israel. They could use you to talk about Israel a little bit." And I was like, "That's exactly what he's describing, which is that we've become in Galut for so long that it's become like this is the subtitle of Torah. It's the subtitle of Jewish life, because we're so disconnected from what that means. Kings, you know, in the time when there was Beit HaMikdash, in the times when there was Am Yisrael Be'eretz Yisrael, even if they weren't good kings, but they kind of saw the strength of what Am Yisrael was in Eretz Yisrael, and anyone who lived there like saw that strength. And so it's not a footnote, but it's become a footnote. And Rav Kook continues. He says, "Umimela yechsar hakoach hayoter adir benishmat uma vehayachid vehagalut motzeit hichein mitzad atzmuta." So what happens after it doesn't enter into our soul because it's become like a secondary value? So yechsar mimela, what comes afterwards is yechsar hakoach hayoter, this great strength, adir, like really strong strength, b'nishmata uma, that exists in the soul of our nation, v'yachid, and in the soul of each individual person, it's yechsar. I mean, it becomes lacking, it becomes less, it becomes lower. So we have this strength as a nation, we have the strength of each individual person, but because that becomes a secondary value, so that strength is lost. I mean, if every single person, I'll just translate the last five words in just a sec, if every single person in Am Yisrael understood this idea of how fundamental this was to their Jewish identity and to, you know, the Torah values, then that strength that we would have to be able to bring Geula, to be able to bring Mashiach, to be able to right the world from wrong and get everything on its good path would be unbelievable. It's a koach hayoter adir. It's like an unbelievable strong koach. But when no one has that passion or that sense of purpose because it's a secondary value, so we're missing that. And then he says, this is like a sad five words, he says, hagalut motzeiti chein mitzad atzmuta, that the galut then kind of removes the grace, like, because of itself. In other words, the galut has now kind of removes this chein, this grace, this splendor, this beauty that the Jewish people in theory have, but because they've been in Galut for so long, they've kind of lost it. So, I'm out say tichen. Motzeit chein. In other words, people who are in Galut find meaning find favor in Galut, basically. Uh-huh.
Comfort in Galut.
So maybe that's like the end of this point then, is that because it becomes a secondary value, okay, very good, right? So because it becomes a secondary value, so now we're like, okay, Galut's pretty good, right? Because once we don't have that strength, once we don't have that koach, so it's not as important for us to get out of Galut, for us to not like Galut, for us to be revolted by being in Galut, because it's a secondary value. Rav Inyar quotes this story on this point, exactly what Svi mentioned, thank you, that there was a guy who was living in Beit Vegan, and someone asked him, "Where are you from?" He said, "I'm from Frankfurt." He said, "Why are you from Frankfurt?" He said, "Because if you look around, all the people that I live with, we basically still live in Frankfurt. We just happen to live in Eretz Yisrael." And what Rav Inyar is pointing out is that there's a point in whether you're in Eretz Yisrael or when you're out, whether you're outside, that you just kind of lose the focus of the importance of Eretz Yisrael. And that comes by way of realizing that it's this secondary value. Bonnie made a point last time before, and everyone left. She said, if you view Eretz Yisrael as a means to an end, that's exactly why people don't move there. And he's not even talking about Aliyah. I'm just to illustrate that point, that we don't have that sense of passion, purpose, and excitement if we think that it's a footnote in terms of Jewish values. And if it's a means to an end, then if I don't need the end, then, you know, if I don't need, you know, whatever it is that I think it has to offer, then I don't need to go there. Okay. So Rav Kook continues. He says, "Kile masig rak et hashetach hagalui." When a person kind of is attaining just this kind of like the revealed expanse of Eretz Yisrael, meaning understanding just kind of what it is at its surface, he only looks at what it is practically, only looks at what it has to offer us in a logical, rational sense. So what happens is, lo yechsar shum davar yesodi bechesron haaretz v'hamamlacha v'chol tachnei ha'uma bivinyana. He says, what happens? So we, lo yechsar shum davar yesodi bechesron haaretz v'hamamlacha. We don't see anything as lacking from the fact that we don't have an aretz and kingship. If it's a secondary value, so you say, so we don't have it, so it's not a big deal. We don't have Jewish people running the show on the land that we're all supposed to be on. And the fact that we don't have that maybe isn't such a big deal. And that comes because we really are not in touch with that, and we're starting to really, you know, love the Galut and be connected with the Galut, and we don't realize that what we don't have is a problem.
Jewish people not writing Yisrael where?
In other words, the ideal is to have Am Yisrael and kingship of Am Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael. So if we don't have that, which even today, like, I guess we do, but maybe not fully, not in the full way we want, not in the way that, like, ultimately we're, like, striving towards, then we're missing something. Maybe we have part of it, maybe we're getting there, maybe there's components of what he's describing. We have, like, a lot of Am Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael, and we have something to the effect of, you know, more control than we have had in a long time there. But even that, you know, either you don't realize how important that is, and you don't realize kind of how big of a deal it is for the Jewish people to continue to strive towards that and want that. And all of the, people within the nation, bivinyana, in its building, rebuilding. In other words, all of the people don't connect to this idea of needing to rebuild Eretz Yisrael, Am Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael, and we lose that strength. Rav Avinner points out that, a philosophy oftentimes is that we see Eretz Yisrael as just one of the many mitzvot in the Torah. And if you see it just kind of as one mitzvah, you see, like, okay, there's a lot of mitzvah we don't get to do, right? How, you know, I'm not a Kohen, I don't bring do a vote in the Beit HaMikdash, I don't redeem the donkey. I mean, there's all kinds of mitzvah that we don't do. And so there's a lot of mitzvah I don't do, so then this is also one that I just, it is what it is, I don't do it. And again, even that, I think Rav Kook would argue that it isn't just like one mitzvah. See, like, I'm being Yotzei Lulav and I'm being Yotzei Eretz Yisrael. It's more fundamental in that there's a connection between that land and this inner soul of the Jewish people and of each individual person, and that's really a connection. It's not just, limited to the fact that it is a mitzvah. Because if it is just a mitzvah, then it could possibly be that maybe I could say, oh, I'm not doing, okay, so it's not a big deal to not do one of the mitzvot.
When did he write before the stage?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're still looking for autonomy.
Right, certainly right. I mean, to his point, like, we now kind of even see developments, but he's looking at it for all of that.
It's a magnetic pull. Actually, the Jews are supposed to be in Israel. Israel is supposed to be.
Yeah. Early 30s, late 20s?
I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
I get
yeah.
that when I go there.
36? 36?
Right.
You
do?
He died before the state.
Yeah.
He died before the state.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Right.
But what's in his point that it's not just to be another country? It's not just to take the land somewhere else. That it
right.
To be
yeah.
And that's what he's trying to prove. He's
right.
Trying
yeah.
to prove that you can think of it as just another country. You think of it without that interconnection to walking the land.
Right.
Then it doesn't, then it can be anywhere.
Right.
Which ultimately, I mean, he was before the state, but then he took the state from 48 until probably 73. That's what was happening.
Right.
And he was going down there until they saw 73.
Right. Right. Rav Avinair, and this is like his, Cook doesn't say this because he wasn't dealing with like the issues of today, but Rav Avinair, like throughout his parish on all of this, kind of mentions that a big nafkamina difference, and I think I mentioned this last class, is like about giving up land, because he says if it's about like whether or not we're safe, so every like piece of land you could like say, well, are we safe? And if we are safe, then like, you know, you can give up this or, you know, for peace, etc. Again, this is a very complicated issue, and I don't mean to like say that there's one, you know, the way of looking at this. Certainly Rav Avinair says if it's a means to an end, so he kind of feels like one application of that would be how willing you are, how hard it is for you to like give up any portion, because you're able to accomplish the means or the end without the means of certain parts of the land. But to your point that ultimately he would still say the same thing, maybe phrase it a little bit differently, because we're still missing full melucha of an all of Am Yisrael b'Eretz Yisrael. And that's what he's arguing, that that's ultimately you know, achieving that interconnectedness that we all have, that we're striving for. But maybe today we have something of it. Okay.
Well, we're closer today than we were back then.
I hope so.
That's
so.
For sure.
I hope so. So now Rav Cook can again get into some of the ramifications of this. So now that we aren't passionate or as excited, this interconnectedness, I like that word, between our soul and what Eretz Yisrael is not being actualized. We don't realize that it's there or what it is. So then, what are the ramifications of that? So Rav Cook says, Yesod si piya ta Yeshua hu etzlo. The foundation of a longing for the Yeshua, for salvation, meaning for Geula, of that person becomes kamo anaft sadi, like a side branch. An anaf is a branch, a side branch. In other words, it becomes like you have the tree, you have the trunk, and the fact that part of one of the Rambam's 13 principles of faith is we have to long for the Yeshua. Okay, now again, many people didn't agree that that was one of them, but certainly it is a very big Jewish value to want the Geula to come, to want the world to achieve its ultimate end. And a person who views Eretz Yisrael as this secondary value, so his longing for Yeshua is going to be like a naftadi, like a branch on the side of the trunk.
A secondary issue.
Secondary issue. Right. There's a very famous Kuzari, which I wanted to print out, but I didn't have time. And if you have a Kuzari at home, or you can get it online, definitely read it. So the Kuzari is a fake, but Yehuda Halevi wrote a possible conversation between like a pagan and a rabbi, and it's the conversation is used to explain a lot of things in Jewish in Judaism. The Kuzari, I'll just read it in English for a second. After the rabbi has explained all the reasons why Eretz Yisrael is so important, and he's explained all the halachot and dinim that have to do with Eretz Yisrael, so the Kuzari says, and I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me, but I'll just read it. It's his second essay, number 23, and really extends to like 24 as well. So the rabbi says, the Kuzari says, if so, then you are shirking the duty imposed upon you by your Torah. In other words, you tell me all this is important, but I look at you guys, and you clearly are just running away from what you're supposed to do. You have not made Eretz Yisrael your goal. nor your place of living and dying. That you say in your prayers, have mercy on Zion, for it's our life's home, and you believe that the divine presence will return to Eretz Yisrael. Even if it's your only quality was that the divine presence previously dwelt there, even if that was the only thing you had going on for, I don't know, 900 years, it still would be proper for those of you who really like believe this to yearn for the land. He says, and all the nations have agreed to this. The Christians say that this is where the souls gather before they're brought up to heaven. The Muslims believe that this is the place where the prophets ascend to heaven. This is where the place where the day of judgment takes place. Everyone focuses on Eretz Yisrael. He said, and this is the craziest line, he says, I see that all your knee-bending and bowing toward Eretz Yisrael is mere flattery or some insincere custom.
Insincere custom.
In other words, you guys, you bow, you, in Shemona Esrei, the amount of brachot in Shemona Esrei having to do with Kehula or Eretz Yisrael in some way is the majority of them. And we bow, you know, we really long for the Gula. And yet he's saying it's lip service. Your forefathers chose to live in Eretz Yisrael rather than their birthplaces. They even preferred a life of wandering in Eretz Yisrael over a settled life of their homelands. And this was their choice despite the fact that the divine presence had not yet been there. Indeed, the land at that time was just with idolatry, etc. So this is what the Kuzari, you know, says to the rabbi. He says, you guys are... You're talking the talk, you're not walking the walk. And one of the only times in the Sefer the rabbi has a response, he says, yeah, you got me. You shame me. I don't have. He doesn't have a response for this. He says, you're absolutely right. And I think that this Kuzari, and please look at it because it's really powerful. What? Okay, yeah, it's funny. I thought, I opened it up tonight. I said to myself, I've never learned this book. I haven't. I just have it. I don't know why I have it. And then apparently I had like this one part of the whole thing underlined. So I don't know who at some point told me this was an important one. But I think that's what Cook's describing, that the ultimate ramifications of this are that a person's tzipia to Yeshua, a person's desire for Geula, ultimately become external. And they don't feel his entire being. They don't become the one of his central values. And because of that, we don't act on all that we believe. And Rav Kook says, "She'eno yachol hitkasher im omek hakarat yadut." And really, what happens is you don't connect yourself to the depth of recognizing what Judaism is all about. You miss out on a very central theme, a central idea. You can connect to Torah, and he mentioned this last time, and mitzvot, and of course, that's the yesod kol. That's the foundation of everything. But Eretz Yisrael and Am Yisrael and the importance of those two things are so fundamental, and they are part of the yesod of what it means to have Jewish identity. And I double underline this. He says, "Vizeb atzma hu adaber hameid al cheson havana sheyesh b'shita ma'atat halshad kazot." So you're gonna have to happen with two of these words here. This itself is the thing that testifies on the lack of understanding we have of this opinion of ma'atat halshad, removed of sap. I don't know. Yeah, so I think Lashad means sap in modern Hebrew. I don't know. I think what it means is that it's an understanding that is removed of like a life source. Missing something fundamental. So, but that's what comes out of this. And therefore, if Geula and Mashiach and Am Yisrael Eretz Yisrael are not topics that are spoken about, and it's not something that people are like really davening for. You know, we daven for people, everyone should get better. We daven for that. We daven for our panasa. Of course we should daven for that. We daven for the chinuch of our children. Of course we should daven for that. But one of the things that we have a harder time putting as much kavanah to is things like Geula and Mashiach and Am Yisrael Be'eretz Yisrael and Techazin and Nebeshiv Chalit Zion. And the reason why is because we've been in Galut for so long that desire, that longing has become duller. What did you say? Okay, good.
You got it. Okay.
Right.
foundations of many frameworks.
Right.
So how do we have stories like that past the
right. Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what we like said at the beginning, which is an important point to bring up now, is that that's why it's Secrets of Torah. Because at one point, people could connect this in such an obvious way that it didn't have to be like, you know, you'd have to go to, a shir in, you know, the Kedusha Levi or a shir in Chassidut in order to kind of like hear people talking about Kedusha Eretz Yisrael and like its interconnection with our soul. But that's the only place you kind of find that maybe in today, I guess. So now Rav Kook is going to surprise us all in his classic Rav Kook fashion. So if anyone else is writing this, you would think he's kind of he's railing on the people who don't believe this, right? Like he's all those Talmidei Chacham, all those people who are not talking about this, and they're so you think like he's bashing them. This is Rav Kook, so he's going to surprise us all. He says, "Lo sholalim anachnu kol min siyur v'havana hamiyusad al yashrut v'rigshei dea v'yirat shemayim be'ezet turah shehi." We're not, God forbid, casting away any understanding or semblance that's whose foundation is like the thoughts and the opinions surrounding Yirat Shemayim, whatever it looks like. In other words, he's like, don't think that what I'm doing is dismissing people who are keeping Torah mitzvot, who are striving for Yirat Shemayim, who are striving for Ad Hashem. I'm not dismissing them. I'm not even dismissing their movements. Because ultimately, the yesod of everything is to serve Hashem. And if they're really doing that, the Chol Kocham, so I'm not dismissing them. Rabbi Ben-Ezra says, like, even all the time in the Chacham who really don't believe in what he's saying, he said, I'm not dismissing them. Rak et oto hatzad, and this is like amazing how he phrases this. Hate opinions, not people. Rak et oto hatzad sheshitaka zot tachpots lishlol et razim et hashpa'ata magdola aruach alma. It's only that aspect of what they do where they tachpots, where they desire lishlol et razim, to like remove these secrets, these ideas, and hashpa'atam, and their influence, hagadolah, their great influence, of, but I think he means from, the ruach ha'umah, the spirit of the nation. In other words, he's kind of saying like, if you do what you do, it's like, that is what it is. And I'll explain what that means in a sec. If you live your life, you live a life of Yirat Shemayim, and this isn't your passion, so you kind of say like, that's one thing. What he's bothered by is when people go out of their way to kind of convince everyone else that Eretz Yisrael and Am Yisrael and these kinds of ideas which people have a hard time connecting to are not important.
That's just the liberals. No.
So, in other words, he says you cannot like their ideas, but he's not even really saying their ideas. He's saying like the fact that they're taking these values away from other people. That's really what he doesn't like. There's a lot of stories of Rav Avner quotes. I'll just tell you a few of them. So, Rav Hirsch, or Shimshon Rafal Hirsch, is famous because he coined and created a movement called Torah in Derech Eretz. And Torah in Derech Eretz, like primarily, is it's a debate. Rabbi Norman Lamb might say it's something different, but either it's that it's what we know kind of it's similar to Torah Mada, maybe it's secular thought and Torah coming together. But probably it was, you know, the importance of having a job and living in the world as well as kind of being a Torah Jew, and that's what Rav Hirsch was communicating to people in order to kind of like fight the Reform movement and say, no, like you can be in the world and you can live Torah and it's okay. And Rav Kook disagreed, and we saw last time a few quotes of Rav Kook really disagreed with Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch would not send people to Eretz Yisrael to live in Eretz Yisrael. When people would come to him and say, like, tell everybody that they have to go, Rav Hirsch would say, no, I don't believe that getting everyone to go, if they're not, you know, Shomer Torah Mitzvot, is important. Rav Kook really vehemently disagreed with Rav Hirsch. But Rav Avinir quotes this Rav Kook, that when he referred to Rav Hirsch in one of his Sfarim, He calls him the Gadol Dea Nazir Elokim HaMeromam, like the great wise Nazir of God, like of a lofty God, that like has Asher Hitzil Begvuro Yesho Yeminu Et Sherit Yisrael HaMaravid, that has saved like the entire Western population of Judaism. In other words, he had an incredible admiration for who Rav Hirsch was and what he'd done. Even if we disagreed on the fact that, you know, about Eretz Yisrael and its role, but certainly to never debase him. And Rav Hirsch was never someone, maybe that's why I loved him so much, who was like trying to take people away. Just if you ask him, you say, "Should I go?" He would say, "No." But he wasn't trying to go out of his way to kind of highlight how it was unimportant, which is very different. Rav Avinor also talks about how Rav Kook one time spent a few days kind of really talking about the difference of his opinion versus like the opinion of the Haredim. The next day, one of his shamashes, he's walking through Me'el Sharim, and he said, "Where do you want to go, Daven Mincha?" So he goes to an Aturei Karta shul. So like Daven Mincha, and afterwards, like the Gabbai, Rav Kook was like flabbergasted. Like, you just spent the past week kind of these lectures, right? This is exactly what he was doing. But he was talking about how he vehemently disagreed with his people. And then he went to Daven in the Turei Karta shul. So Cook explained, like, very simply, that in regards to Eretz Yisrael, yes, we disagree, but in regards to Tefillah, we're on the exact same page. And so there can be this idea that don't highlight necessary, you know, or make bigger what we're divided on. Understand that that's one piece of the pie. Again, an important piece of the pie, and how important it is, or Cook would disagree with others, but certainly
it was only a portion of the pie.
Right.
They had a similar, it's in the Shlomo Rizvi. So they asked him a question. So if you had a choice, would you live in a community in Torah Karta, or would you live in a secular kibbutz?
In Eretz Yisrael?
In Eretz Yisrael. And so he says, no question. He says, "Okay, so we're going to a car, so we're Shabbos, you know, Kashrus, Mikvah, and whatever. So we just disagree on
Israel.
With the secular kibbutz, we agree on nothing."
Right. Right, that's exactly it.
That's extremely deep.
That's an amazing story.
That's extremely deep.
Yeah. There's a lot of stories like that, you know, that Ravinar goes through. It's an amazing thing that someone could vehemently, I guess, disagree, and yet at the same time respect so much. So I guess we'll just sum up today. I think that'll be. Did we finish? Oh, kizeh, sorry. Kizehu ason she'anu chayavim lochon ito. This is the tragedy that we're obligated to fight. Meaning the fact that they're pulling people away from this value. That's what we're supposed to fight. Be'etzah u'tvunah v'kedusha v'gvura. With advice, with understanding, with holiness, and with strength. Be strong, but be holy. Do it in the right way. I heard Rabbi Goldberg quote an idea, I don't remember who he said it in the name of, that tzedek tir dov, the Torah says, that you should pursue righteousness. Righteousness, you shall pursue. So Rabbi Goldberg said the idea is that you have to pursue righteousness with righteousness, right? That just
because.
What?
Straight
in the Rashi.
What?
It's Rashi? Yeah. Oh, okay, it was Rashi. Okay, there you go. Great. But it's an important idea here that even though Rav Kook is really disagreeing, it's about doing it in the right way and interacting with people in the right way, and that's the Yesod HaKol. So, again, Eretz Yisrael is not a means to an end. It's a connection that's in intuitive and connects with our souls, and that's really the connection. The godly part of us connects with that land, and we've become disconnected with this idea and made it a footnote in our lives and our values because of 2,000 years of galut, and we haven't interacted with Sitrei HaTorah. We haven't interacted with kind of the depth of what it means, and because of that, our Tzipita LeYoshua has been a little bit lost, and so. You should sit around every Tuesday night and you should learn Rav Kook so that you can connect with these ideas and really take that sepia that may have been diminished over 2,000 years and bring it back so that passion and that strength of each of us and of Avishal as a whole can accomplish what we're ultimately hoping for, which is a gula.
Listen, I told my wife this is a cooking class.